They were amazed that we took our own beef over there and just got pipped by half a point. They were very happy for us because their passion and barbecue is unbelievable over there. Like, they'll help you do anything. Yeah, they just want to see people succeed and love barbecue, what they do.
This is the Australian Butchers Guild Podcast, brought to you by Meat and Livestock Australia, the podcast for passionate butchers.
G'day meat lovers, I'm Doug Piper and welcome to the Australian Butchers Guild podcast. Today I'm catching up with a butcher and meat processing legend, Grant Coleman. In Grant's spare time, he's part of a champion barbecue team known as the Manning Valley Natural Smokers. The team have won a truckload of competitions here in Australia and took on the expert American barbecue teams at their own game in the World Championship Barbecue Contest in Texas a few years back, where the team took out second place in the brisket competition, which is by no means an easy feat. Grant's taking things a bit easier these days and still keeping his finger in the pie, working with processors and continuing to cook up sensational briskets at low and slow barbecue comps. Welcome, Grant.
How are you, mate?
Good, Doug. How are you, mate?
I'm going very well. What are you went up to? Whereabouts are you at the moment, mate? You're out in regional Queensland somewhere.
Yeah, I'm down near Warwick, mate. Sunny Queensland.
Sunny Queensland. I love that place up there. So, mate, what are you up to today? Who are you working with at the moment?
Currently, I've just started a job at John Deere at Warwick Abattoirs. I just started there last week, back into the game, the industry, yeah.
You had a couple of months travelling around Australia, I see.
Yeah, I've had nearly 10 months and enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah, it's a break you well deserve, mate. You've got a great track record around the place with the processing side of it. So you're a butcher and you've done your trade and you started out as in the butcher shop somewhere around Australia. So where did that all start for you, mate?
Yeah, 1983, I started in a butcher shop in Taree, New South Wales. Taree and William, I worked in butcher shops there. Yeah, until 1988, that's when I joined the Abattoirs. You're always looking for something different, and a lot of my mates worked at the Abattoirs and the processing side, so I thought, well, why not give it a go?
Obviously completely different to a retail butcher shop, but how did you settle into that?
Yeah, them days were a bit different. I settled in quite well because, you know, I was a group of blokes, and I went up there and actually started to bone and slice. You know, I settled in quite well. The main thing I was looking for there was a Monday to Friday job, and it wasn't Thursday night and Saturday. That's what we used to work in the butcher shop. You know, when you're younger, you're looking to do these kind of things for open opportunities up for sport and different things.
Yeah, once the deregulation of shopping hours sort of stopped, the trade became a harder gig with the extended hours and then going on into Sunday trading as well, which I think that was a lot of reasons why a lot of guys left the trade because they just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree. You know, probably the first 10 years I was at the Abattoirs, there's probably, you know, 10 or 15 butchers that I knew from Taree or William that actually come there and boned and sliced. Finish their career there. It's no different now. You know, some of these younger butchers, they'd soon adapt in the boning rooms currently now.
When you first start out at the plants, you start down the bottom of the chain. Depend on your skill level, doesn't it? So where do they normally start them?
Depends on your background. If you're like a butcher by trade and you're keen and willing to get up and go, you're slicing and boning, you'll walk in pretty quick, especially these days. Years ago, you know, you probably had to wait 12 months, but these days I reckon your second day you nearly get a gig. And that's one thing in the whole plants at the moment, you know, a lot more training before you can get a step up. But now these days the step up is so fast, but majority of the people come, start as labourers, packing, and then they move their way pretty quickly. The keen ones that want to get a knife, get the training, and, you know, there's a lot of trimming jobs and moving to slicing, and then, you know, if you're still keen to go that next step, then you're boning.
And you don't necessarily have to go down to the offal room?
No, not these days. Years ago, you used to have to, but these days, a lot of people are very selective, and their jobs are very special jobs, and certain people can do them, certain people cannot.
So once you worked your way up there, you went on to be GM, General Manager at Wingham.
Yeah, I was quite lucky. I started there and I ended up only working probably 12 months or so in the boning room, then end up selling domestic carton meat to butchers. A position came available that I moved into from there into in charge of all the loadouts and shipping clerk, and got opportunity to come up as a plant manager. So I'd done that for a number of years. until the general manager decided to leave, and they offered me the job as general manager in 2009, and I worked there as general manager at William Beef Exports until 2019.
Wow, that's a pretty good run there.
Yeah.
As a general manager, like, there's a lot of different chores you've got to do, a lot of different responsibilities. What was that like?
You know, your responsibility every day is a different day, but, you know, basically of a morning when you start work, you walk around the plant, making sure everyone's, you know, up and running, and then going for all your meanings and what your production was the day before, then working on your yields and your returns for the day. So that takes, you know, most of the morning to get up and running. Whilst you're in the plant, you know, there's a lot of things to do, work health and safety and training, especially these days. A lot of people involved in training and work health and safety. And then, of course, your maintenance, you know, working with the engineers and all your maintenance gang, just to making sure that the plant is running 100% so you can get your production through on a day-to-day purpose.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. I worked in a small facility up here on the Central Coast. I'm in New South Wales. So much red tape, so many things that you had to do throughout the day to make sure it all ran smoothly.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, the red tape's increased, not only for work health and safety, but, you know, from your customer base side of things, the amount of audits we do now on ourselves through our customer these days. Your QA team is, you know, 3 weeks out of the month is nearly full on audits from customers overseas people as well. So, you know, it is a very tough and challenging job at the moment.
And I suppose that actually, you know, gives us a bit more credibility. The more auditing, the stricter we are with everything. That's why we have such a great name out there, especially in the export market, with having, you know, the best meat in the world, the safest meat in the world.
Yeah, like the approved arrangement program, you know, that's working with Aquis and, you know, all your customers and everything, definitely improved the quality of Australian beef for the domestic market and for the export market. We are the leader in quality. You know, some people get over 200 days, where, you know, in America, I believe, you know, you're probably only 40 days. So,
wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, with what we do in Australia, and I know it's tough, but at the end of the day, the results and the product that we produce in Australia is, you know, number one in the world.
So if butchers were getting itchy feet behind the counter there and they wanted to get a start in that industry, in the processing side, so wanted to do it, well, it wouldn't be a sea change, but it'd be a tree change. So if they were to head out west a bit, there's still plenty of work going out there for them?
Yeah, Doug, I think every plant at the moment, processing plant's looking for new employees, so there's definitely a start. Look, it is a good job.
Yeah, cool. So enough of the work stuff, mate. Your passion, barbecue.
Yep.
Summer. Everyone's been lighting up their barbecues for a while now, and butchers are probably that point of contact between a lot of the weekend barbecue people. You know, they've gone out and bought themselves a pit boss or a Traeger or whatever, and they're experimenting at home. You and your team, was it the Manning Valley?
Yeah, we were the Manning Valley Natural Smokers originally, yeah.
Mate, you guys have done so well over the years. It's been going for a little while, hasn't it, the barbecue team?
Yeah, so we started in 2018. Originally, Australian Barbecue Alliance started, I think it was in 2016, I think it is. We were very, very lucky. We you know, as Ash and Steve and Mark, and we enjoyed ourselves, and which that's the main part of barbecue. If you don't enjoy yourself, you're not going to do it. We were lucky enough to represent Australia in Texas, Houston, in the first year. So it went really well.
And how did you go there?
Yeah, so we went over there. We were very nervous because we knew nobody. And when we got over there, we're normally used to about, you know, as I said before, a lot of people used to about 35, 40 teams competing in a competition in Australia. And when you go to the Texas, Houston Rodeo Arena and you've got 380-odd teams setting up. And
wow.
Well, we're a little team where majority of them have got market and bands, everything. I was just in 45 hectares, so, you know, it's a huge setup. And we took our own beef over, we cooked our briskets up, and we actually came second by half a point against all the Texans.
Wow, that's a great achievement. How did that go down with the locals?
It's actually interesting because when I was up on, I got called up on stage, they do a lot different over there. I met a guy, and he's from another team, and we're having a bit of a yarn. And once we come second and they announce where you're from, was amazing, the people that come up and talk to you. And Snake River Farms brand, they were one of the good ones. They come up and seen us and talked to us and took us back to their marquee and met a lot of the Americans that they sponsor. And I know we had a good old chat, a lot of Mexicans there, so met a lot of new friends. And they were amazed that we took our own beef over there and just got pit by half a point. They were very happy for us because you know, their passion in barbecue is unbelievable over there. Like, they'll help you do anything. Ask anything, they'll help you. They just want to see people succeed and love barbecue, what they do.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle, isn't it, for them?
Oh, definitely a lifestyle.
I love the Americans. I've been there a few times over the years. I've done a lot with chefs over there, and they're also obliging, especially when they find out you're from Australia. They can't do enough to help you most of the time, and they're just welcoming you into their life.
No, that's right. And Jess Proles introduced us to a family, and their restaurant's called Fat Boys Barbecue near Austin. And it's Corey and Denny Mikes. And Denny Mikes is a legend in barbecue. He won the Jack and the Royal many, many times. And so is Corey. And we jumped in the car one afternoon and we get up to the restaurant. And here's old Denny in the restaurant. Took the four of us out the back and my daughter and my wife and in his kitchen. And he started mixing up rubs and sauces. And we thought, what's he doing here? And he showed us and telling us what to do and put it in bottles. And then next minute he just said to us, he said, well, boys, there you go. There's the box. If you can cook, you'll win the cook. And I still remember that. I still say that to a lot of people. You know, everyone says, oh, they don't tell you, you know, share their secrets. And since I've come back from that trip, you know, I've shared everything I can because I was lucky enough to be able to work with Denny and Corey Mikes, thanks to Jess Proles. And what they give us helped us out immensely. And, you know, I've just shared that with everybody I could in barbecue, because my point is we all use the same rubs and sauces, but we've all got to be able to cook it to a texture and tenderness that people love.
That is the big thing, yeah, texture and tenderness. The flavours are good, but it's still got to be edible. What's the secret to getting that texture right, I suppose? Are you going to share that? You know, is it just time?
Well, a lot of people reckon they don't use thermometers. That's great. I always use a thermometer, thermopen thermometer. I use it in two ways. I use it for reading the temperature, and I use it for my skewer. You know, when you got that thermometer and that skewer, if you can put in any piece of meat that you're cooking and that doesn't suck to that meat and just goes in nicely and out, pulls out beautifully, you know your texture's right. And 9 times out of 10, your thermometer will read around like a brisket, around that 204 to 206 Fahrenheit, which that's where you want to be to slice. Same as your pork ribs. Then your pulled meat's around that 210, 212. So I still think for temperature and your probe for that texture and tenderness. And if you can consistently do that, that's where your results come from.
Any tips you can give the butchers out there? You know, these guys are our point of contact for talking to the weekend barbecuers out there. So any sort of tips that they can forward on to their customers about cooking on low and slow, anything in particular there?
I think over the years, a majority of the butchers have come on board with, you know, the better cuts of meat for the barbecue and understanding the barbecue cuts that people are after. But tips-wise, you know, there's a lot of butchers getting around now that, you know, has got the rubs and sauces. And so, you know, if a person goes in the barbecue, the weekend barbecue, you know, you've got the option of, you know, your steaks, you know, on charcoal or on your gas barbecue, then, you know, you have your low and slow. But, you know, the biggest thing is texture. And like a lot of people, you know, you cook meat at home and you have visited around and they always say, oh, it's the best meat, you get the best meat. Well, it's not all about the best meat. I always say it's about the texture and what you cook it. And if you got that texture, that's that wow factor. If you can get that every time, the public understand that. And, you know, that's why I always say about a thermometer, even a cooking a steak, you know, around that 132 Fahrenheit internal, take it off, rest it for, you know, 5-10 minutes. It'll still be nice and pink inside, but it'll be cooked all the way through and, you know, you enjoy your steak. And, you know, in butchering, you get a lot of people that complain, oh, I bought a steak here and it wasn't real good, it was a bit tough. But then you ask me how you cook it, and we're all experts. But at the end of the day, you can get the same bit of steak and cook it a lot better than I can. So I think that we've got to really work with our public with.
Yeah, getting them to do it correctly.
Yep. We've been playing around with some different cuts, and chuck's one of them. And especially since COVID, I think a lot more people in Australia have learnt to cook a good steak, and they've been able to buy a good steak. And that's continued in the market since. And, you know, you see these lot of Wagyu beef or long fed Angus, very well marbled chuck rolls, pieces of chuck sitting in the supermarket. And you're 100% right. If you can get that, thin slice it, the flavour is amazing. As you say, cook it as a pull, or even do like a burn end or thin slice, and it's very, very hard to go past. I agree. And, you know, a lot of other cuts that I've been trying since I bought got myself a PK grill.
Okay.
Something a bit different, because I never used to use charcoal too much, and got into it. I've been, you know, doing rump caps, and I've been doing flank steaks. Flank steaks are amazing. And thick skirts, hanging tender.
Yes.
They're starting to be around in the shops as well now. And pick a nice rub, sweeter rub. It's amazing bits of meat. It's nowhere near the price of the cube rolls and the strip loins and the tenderloins, but the tenderness is there and the flavour is there and all them different cuts.
Yeah, I love the hanger, the thick skirt. That is my favourite. I was over in the States when I had that for the first time. And I came back and, you know, I've been away for about 2 or 3 weeks. And the wife said, you'll take me out for dinner, seeing you've been eating out every night for the last 2 or 3 weeks. So I took her down to our local restaurant down in Gosford there. And you know what? They had a hanger steak on the menu. And I said, I'm going to give this a crack, see what it's like, mate. And it didn't disappoint me. It did not disappoint me.
In Queensland, Super Butcher seemed to get them. So there's a lot of, you know, butcher shops and a lot of other butcher shops I've seen now just starting to get them in as well. So,
okay.
But the thing is, they don't have many of them.
What about the Bavette, the flat meat and that? Have you played around with that at all?
No, I haven't. The flat meat, that's one that we will definitely have a go at because I don't see any reason why it would not. It's probably a little bit coarser grain than the hanger, but I still think it would eat. Okay.
I think Brazilians eat it a lot, and I think, yeah, it comes down to, I think, the marinade that they use with them and obviously the cooking method and the way they slice it. So, you know, because it's so coarse grain, if you know, if it's cut correctly, I think it's going to eat pretty well.
Yeah, I think the Brazilians, the Mexicans, they love it. They love all them kind of skirt flavoured beef. But, you know, if you go into Costco, and not Costco, you go in there and they have that little thin sliced chuck or and marinated that you can buy. You know, a lot of people buy that because the reason we talk about a chuck, you know, it's already marinated, it'd be tender, it's been like a few days.
Yeah, I think that's the bulgogi, isn't it? That Mongolian sort of or Asian style bulgogi. That's beautiful. That I've actually bought that from Costco once and I just chucked it on the hot plate outside and just cooked it up nice and quickly. Beautiful. And being chuck, ate well, and that's an opportunity there for butchers to get behind too.
For sure, and I know that is just pure chuck because I've produced that where I've worked for them, and that's what it is, sliced chuck, 2 mil thick.
So what's up in the coming months for you? Is you staying at John Deere for a little while, or you got more plans to get out and about?
Actually, it's quite interesting. As I said, I had me a bit of a break 2 weeks ago. I took on the president of Australian Barbecue Alliance. I was vice president prior, but I've just stepped up to president. Keen to take on that role and to, you know, build it back up to, you know, where it was prior to COVID. And, you know, I want to try to get it across Australia, right across Australia, at least have a competition in every state. Another game is, you know, we have this SCA state cook-off. It's an American thing that come to Australia. And, you know, I'm super keen to try to source how we can do something in Australia ourselves, maybe with them blokes across the ditch we talk about.
Oh, yeah.
So that goes low and slow. Yeah, it's around. It's been around. You know, it's very popular. But a lot of people since COVID have got into steak, cooking steak. And I think if you can have something that really interests the backyard weekend warrior, like steak cooker and around your areas, maybe that's an opportunity for, you know, another sport. And that's something I'd really be keen to look into and try to promote from out Australia.
Yeah, good. Oh, congratulations on that, mate. That sounds like a bit of a challenge ahead of you, and that'll get you out of trouble, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, and as I said, I started at John Deere last week.
Well, mate, really appreciate your time this afternoon, and I know you're itching to get home to have a feed, but before we let you go, you've got 4 questions you've got to answer.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Question one, what's your favourite cut of beef or lamb, and how do you like it cooked?
Favourite cut of beef, I'd have to say... I'm going to say sirloin, and I like it medium rare. Lamb, I love the old lamb loin chops, but they must have a good tail on them.
Number two, which do you prefer, dry-aged or wet-aged beef?
I like wet-aged. Always been a fan of it. I look at dry-aged and look at what they trim off the dry-aged. Been a fan of wet-aged, working in the plants for so long and, you know, doing all your shelf life testings and understanding what 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, 28 days does to your primal. Definitely, and the flavour, I really like the wet-aged flavour.
Okay, number three, second best brisket you've ever eaten, because obviously yours is the first one. So what's the second best brisket you've ever eaten?
There's have to be two here, and I reckon a lot of people would agree with me. I thoroughly enjoyed Fat Boys Barbecues in Templeton, Texas. And up on the coast, up in Lismore, we've got Big Red at Stockpot Kitchen. Cooks an amazing brisket in his restaurant there. Very, very popular.
Yeah, right. Okay. Nice. I remember that. Okay, last one. What's your most memorable moment working in the meat industry? Hey, back into work again.
Probably when our Benning Valley Natural branded beef won the MSA Awards in the Brisbane Fine Food, become Grand Champion overall, and knocked off the Wagyu and the Grain Fed, and that was the grass-fed product of Benning Valley Natural. Many, many years ago, but that's probably one of the proudest moments in the industry.
All right, mate. Well, I'm going to let you toddle off home now. Thanks. Look, I really appreciate your time, the Savo, mate. It's been great to catch up with you, and I'll be in touch with you for that address for the brisket, mate.
No worries at all, Doug. Thank you very much.
Good on you, Grant. Thanks a lot, mate.